This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Oh, compassionate one, you know our ups and our downs, the times we turn away, and yet you wait for us. You guide us in the wilderness places of our lives to see you. So take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. We are all tempted from time to time, sometimes in little ways, sometimes in big ways. Maybe it's just temptation to talk about somebody behind their back. Maybe it's listening to or even telling a racial joke. Maybe it's leaving somebody out. Maybe it's just looking down at somebody, or lust, or gluttony, or lying, or cheating, or stealing. We've all had those temptations, all of us. Sometimes they're very little. Still important, though, to begin to be aware, all of us, of what they might be. A few weeks ago, I was tempted by self-pity. I woke up in the morning, and I have no idea why I was feeling so sorry for myself, but I was. And I got up, and I figured, okay, I'll just do my normal prayer time, and I got into my chair and opened the first reflection, and this is what it said, the very first one. The more you lean on me, says God, the stronger you will be. The more you lean on me, the stronger you will be. And so I took that in, and I sat with it, meditated, and I thought, you mean I have to really practice what I preach? It's not easy when you're feeling different ways or when you've done something that you know isn't right to remember that you can always turn back. Always and always turn back. Lean on me and stronger you will be. At our core, and we've talked about this, I probably mention it in every one of my sermons, God knows that we are good. We were created that way, and we mess up. We're tempted. We go astray, and yet God is still there, waiting for us to turn back to our truth, to know that it's still there, waiting for us to know the purity that lies deep within us and to act on it. We are connected all the time to God. We just forget that. God doesn't go anywhere, we do. Waiting for us to lean on him and to know that in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we are not alone and that we make this journey with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with God our Creator. The more you lean on me, the stronger you will be. And the way we can really do that in this moment in time is that we've got this invitation in the Lenten season. And for those of you that might be new or don't know, we have church seasons and we've just begun Lent, which started last Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. And it'll carry us 40 days and 40 nights until Easter. So we know how it ends. And we've been given this beautiful time to be able to have our own wilderness experience. And that's the invitation. That is the invitation. A time of self-reflection. A time of raw honesty. And just with ourselves and our Maker. Maybe to have a journal where you write every day. Just free form maybe. Knowing you can burn it if you have to. Where you're talking. Just talking to God. It doesn't have to be anything formal. If you don't already have a sacred space in your home for prayer, to set aside a chair, at least, or a place outside, some beautiful place that'll help you know that this is your time. Turn off the electronics and close the door. just for that moment. Then deep within your soul, remind yourself that you're already forgiven and you're already free when you turn back again and again and again. In today's gospel, it's an interesting point that I realized that Jesus is just completing 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He's been baptized, and the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for his time of renewal and self-reflection and strengthening for the ministry he was about to begin. So he's just finished that up, we hear about in today's gospel, and we are just beginning. So you see, it's always like that. Jesus going right ahead of us. He's been there now. And he's showing us, he's giving us this blueprint, this how-to guide of how to navigate our temptations especially. And how to reconnect. And he does that in three ways. And in all of them, this overarching theme is this tempter coming to him. I just have to say a word about the word tempter. Sometimes we hear in scripture it's called devil or Satan or Beelzebub or father of lies, or in Genesis readings, the serpent that entices Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, right? We hear about this thing. And some people take that very literally, to mean this supernatural being that is always waiting, lurking, jumping out to try to get us. But there are many people who are way smarter than me, whom I agree with, Brian McLaren for one, who says this about the tempter, or this thing we call Satan. And I quote, "The tempter is a literary figure who developed over time among ancient storytellers to depict all that is dark, all that is evil, violent, or sinful in human nature and in human culture," end quote. We can't just say, the devil made me do it. All three of the variations of temptations that we hear about today with Jesus in the wilderness have this overarching theme, just like the serpent in the Garden of Eden with Eve saying, oh, you can be God. You can be like God. Well, Jesus already knew that he was the Son of God. And if you notice, each of the three temptations, the devil started with, well, if you're the Son of God, then turn these stones to bread, because Jesus was famished. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. It was like enticing a little kid with candy. I'm reminded of this story that I love of this little boy who was in Sunday school, and they were out of the service during sermon time, and they were hearing the same lesson, that this today's lesson that's always given the first Sunday in Lent, about these temptations. And he's listening, and it was a real dynamic storyteller and teacher, and the little boy could really relate to him. Now, he's only 4 years old, mind you. So he comes back to church, they go home, and later in the afternoon, he says to his mom, "Mom, let me ask you something." And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "What do you think of this devil guy?" And the mom started to think of how she'd respond, but being wise, she probably had many kids, she said to him, "What do you think about this devil guy?" And he thought a minute, and he thought a minute, and he goes, "Well, I think he was talking to Jesus, and I think he was really mean." And he said, "It's kind of like this. If we went to the grocery store, and you and Dad were in one aisle, and I was in another aisle, and there was candy, the devil would be there saying, 'Go ahead and take it.'" And so the mom was very pleased that he got the story, and everything was great, and she thought, okay, that's good. And then she said to him, though, she said, "Well, let me ask you, if we all were in the grocery store, and your dad and I were in one aisle, and you were in another aisle, and the devil was there saying, 'Take the candy,' what would you do?" And the little boy thought, and he looked up, got a big grin on his face, and he said, "I'd say thank you very much." Jesus did not give in. He said, "We do not live by bread alone." but by leaning into and relying on God. He knew that. He modeled it for us as this blueprint. The second temptation was one of safety and security and also pride. Said, oh yeah, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off. And then he quoted the Bible to him, thinking that that would entice him even more, you know, that the angels would come and lift him up and carry him. And Jesus didn't fall for it. Said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Give me a break. Thirdly, he takes him up to the pinnacle, and he says, see all of these kingdoms. And Jesus knew they were in turmoil, by the way. You can have dominion over all of them. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. Well, Jesus had a lot of compassion for the people of the time. And as you know, the Roman government was horrible to the people during this time. And it would have been easy for Jesus to just take charge in that moment. But he would have had to sell his soul to the devil. And he said, get thee behind me, away with you. There's times in our lives where we have to say that too. I know I have to say it. You say, away. Something comes in your mind that's a worry or something you know that you have no business thinking about that is going to just drag you down or worry about a relationship or something. Away. Away. And it's talking to yourself and talking to your own being of not giving in to those old tapes wherever they come from of your core lie. Of not being good enough, or not doing enough, not belonging enough. We've got a million of them, don't we? And we can talk back to that and say, away. Where God is saying to us, when you lean on me, the stronger you will be. And so Jesus said, away. And then he said, quoted scripture again to him, worship the Lord your God. And serve only him. Jesus refused to turn the stones into bread so that his own hunger could be satisfied, and he would go on to feed tens of thousands of people. He refused to jump off the temple to see if God would send angels to minister to him, but he goes to the cross confident that the love of God would overcome everything, even humanity's desire to crucify him. Jesus refused the opportunity to gain his own political power and prestige, and he would go on to proclaim the empire of love and peace and justice that we still, as the body of Christ, are to proclaim today. So I invite you, my friends, into this holy Lent, to take it seriously as this beautiful time to return to God in vulnerability and to go into that wilderness not knowing what will happen and leaning into God and finding that strength. Amen.